90-Year-Old Vet's Journey Through Life. Written by Al Munro. Narrated by Thomas W. Rhodes. Chapter 1. I am a 90-year-old veteran of 5 wars with many stories to tell. My story began 2 years before the Great Depression on April Fool's Day, 1928, which is the day that I was born in Fairfield, Kentucky, in what is known as a ghost house. I understand that ghost stories are still being told today about that old house. At that time, the population in Fairfield was 201, which included me. My parents' names were Tracy Monroe and Mary Ella Hall. I had 2 twin brothers who died shortly after birth, another brother, and 3 sisters. Their names were Thomas James, Marjorie Brookshire, Tracine Virginia, and Mariana J. 5 years later, on April 14th, another sister was born in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Her name was Iron Bonita, and she was named after a girl in a Zane Grey novel that my brother was reading. My mother's maiden name was Brookshire, and her parents' names were James William and Virginia Kay. She also had brothers and sisters who had children, so you can see that the Halls and Brookshires made up a good portion of the population. My father was a self-taught guitar player and could play and sing as well as anyone I ever heard. My mother was also a self-taught piano player and loved to play gospel and blues. Her siblings were also accomplished musicians. They loved to get together with the family and would play and sing throughout the day and most all night just for the fun of it. They also played and sang at church functions, festivals, fairs, gatherings, nightclubs, and reunions. Chapter 2. In its beginning, Fairfield was located on a dirt road that was eventually covered with gravel. Then it became the main highway and was blacktopped. While the population was small, there were quite a few people who lived in the surrounding hills and hollers, which made it a quiet but very busy little town. However, on weekends, due to moonshine being made in those hills and hollers, it became known as a place to stay away from. While a few people owned cars, others were riding horses and driving carriages, buggies, and wagons. A stream that ran through the town is no longer there. All the homes and business structures had outhouses. Some of the outhouses were built over the stream. My father was a musician and a barber, cutting hair with hand-operated clippers and shaving with a straight razor. To make ends meet, he was also a farmer and logger. Every spring, with the help of my siblings, he would put in a garden, which was done the hard way by plowing with a mule, using picks, shovels, hoes, and many other manual tools. My mother, also with the help of my older siblings, canned enough vegetables to last through the winter. We almost always had a cow for milk, chickens for eggs and meat, and a few hogs for meat and to trade or sell. Chapter 3. I can't remember much of the first few years of my life, but I do remember what my friends and relatives told me or talked about. I was 3 years old when the Great Depression hit, and it was getting very difficult for Dad to provide for his family. A distant cousin had moved to Franklin, Indiana, and opened a saloon. He also had gone to work in a tomato cannery. He told Dad that he could get him a job in the same place. That is when Dad loaded all of us up with a few belongings into a wagon that was drawn by 2 mules and headed for Indiana. It took us 3 days to get there. I understand that we crossed the Ohio River in a ferry. We still didn't have indoor plumbing, meaning we had an outhouse, and as usual, we had to take a bath in a wash tub. Years later, I read a letter my mother wrote home telling how happy she was to have a light hanging down from the center of every room. Dad had a room for his barber shop and was still charging 2 bits for a shave and a haircut. I do remember that during this time I fell off the porch and broke my arm. I remember the doctor placed a cloth over my mouth and nose and poured something onto the cloth which put me to sleep. When I woke up, I had a cast on my arm. I also recall my dad taking me for my first airplane ride at the local airport. People laughed at me because I thought all the houses down below were chicken coops. Another thing I remember is that my mother became very sick. Dad was at work, and Marjorie, my oldest sister, called the doctor who made house calls. When he saw how sick Mother was, he picked her up, carried her to his car, and took her to the hospital for surgery. She came home with a bottle of gallstones, which she kept for years. Chapter 4. Eventually, Dad was laid off from his job at the cannery, and after talking it over with Mother, they decided that we should move back to the home farm that was located in the Browning area of Rockfield, Kentucky. The 6-hour, 250-mile trip there was pretty much uneventful. Well, that is, except that we made the trip in a pickup truck with Dad's friend who was going someplace south of there. The 3 adults were crowded in the front while the 5 of us kids hunkered down in the back with a load of stuff. Someone had given my brother Tommy a fedora that he was very proud of. We all were told not to stand up, but he just had to stand up to look around, and in doing so, he lost his fedora. His pleas to go back to look for it were denied, and he was one upset teenager. We crossed the Ohio River on a ferry again, and a few hours later arrived in Browning. It was in the middle of the night when we proceeded to walk a 30-mile across the Stalls' farm to get to their house and across their yard to continue walking on their farm through some fields while climbing over some fences, climbing and stumbling over logs and rocks before we finally reached a creek. It was when we crossed to the other side that we were on the Halls' farm. After stumbling through the night for another 30-mile, we finally reached our destination. It didn't take us long to get to bed, and the next thing I remember was waking up to the smell and sound of sausage, bacon, and eggs frying. The family farm consisted of 200 acres with an old house and a good-sized barn setting on it. It was surrounded by 2 creeks, a couple of farms, and a dirt road that connected with other roads and eventually led to Morgantown, Kentucky. There was a spring that had cold water flowing from it that had a great taste. It flowed for a short distance and into the creek. The barn was located over a hill and out of sight from the house. There was a pond that had fish in it, and it was located a short distance from the barn. The main road was close to a mile from the house, and it was a long walk to pick up the mail. It was also a long walk to a 1-room schoolhouse and a small church. The house had 3 rooms and a kitchen downstairs and an attic upstairs with a feather bed in it that I slept in most of the time. There were 2 fireplaces. One was in the bedroom, and the other was in the living room. The kitchen had a wood-burning cook stove on which my Aunt Vera cooked some delicious meals. The kitchen also had a water faucet that was fed from the well, which was just outside one of the kitchen doors. There was another door on the other side of the kitchen that led into a small room and is where the separator was. The separator was used to separate the cream from the milk. Outside that room were 2 paths. One led to the smokehouse, and the other led to the outhouse that was about 100 feet from the house. Aunt Vera was always good to us and fun to be around. Uncle Herbert was good to us too, but He was grouchy at times and had some obnoxious habits, such as licking his plate clean after finishing his meal and asking one of the kids to pull his finger. While we were there, we always had plenty to eat. We ate fresh vegetables from the garden in the summer and canned enough to last through the winter. The smokehouse was always full of hams, slabs of bacon, and rolls of sausage. There were milk cows, hogs, free-range chickens, guineas, and turkeys. There was a large chicken house where the chickens could roost high and be safe from predators. I don't remember what the guineas and turkeys did to stay safe. The cows, horses, and mules were allowed in the big barn. Chapter 5. When I wrote that the house that we were living in was an old farmhouse, I wasn't kidding, for that's what it was, an old house that needed a good coat of paint. As a matter of fact, it had the appearance of having never been painted. However, on the inside, it was very cozy. It was very clean, and I don't remember ever seeing a mouse or a roach during the many times I stayed there over the years. Aunt Vera was my father's sister, and we loved her very much. She also loved us and loved us being there, but my parents wanted a place that wasn't so crowded. And so it was that one day my father told us that he had found a place across the creek on the Browning Road close to a country store. Our old but new home was a two-story home that overlooked the Browning Road country store that was located on the Galloway Mills and Browning Petros crossroads. The farm had lots of tillable ground and a forest that needed thinning out and had plenty of trees for logging. Dad, along with a couple of workers and two mules, used crosscut saws, broad axes, and other primitive tools to cut the trees down, remove the limbs, load them onto a mule-drawn wagon, and haul them to a mill. Sometimes Dad would let me watch and even participate in doing some of the work. On one of those days, I was prompted to run to the house and tell Mom and others that were there that Dad was very mad and was cussing at the mules. Later, when he came in to eat, Mom confronted him and asked him what he was saying to the mules. Dad was laughing very hard when he told them that he was saying things like, "Dad burn, gosh darn crazy mules," and so on. That's when everyone there was laughing, and I felt humiliated. Chapter 6. There weren't any kids my age who lived close to us, so I had to amuse myself in other ways. I had heard that a caravan of gypsies would be camping around the country store, and every day with anticipation I would be outside looking for them. You can imagine my delight when I saw them coming down the road. After telling everyone in the house that they were coming, I went running across the field to get a better look. There were several colorful, covered wagons, and they circled the store in a way that reminded me of pictures I had seen. I visited with them some, but my parents didn't think that it would be a good idea to get too friendly with them. I spent a lot of time observing them during the day, and I was fascinated at night when they lit their campfires, played their music, and sang their songs. It was summertime, and with my bed by the window, I would lie there watching and listening until I fell asleep. One of the horses that seemed like a part of the family was an old gray mare. She was so gentle that she would let us kids play around her, sat on her, and ride her. One day there were four of us riding her when my sister Tracine fell off and broke her collarbone. A few years later, she was thrown by a horse and broke her back. It's a good thing that medicine and doctors were cheap in those days, because one or more of us was always sick or getting hurt.